It was February 22nd. College student Lakin Riley went for a jog. She never came home. The coroner's office, working her case, determined the cause of death as blunt force trauma. This man, quote, disfigured her skull. All death is terrible, all of it, especially murder. But murder seems to hit even deeper when we find out that it could have absolutely, positively been prevented time and time again. Lakin Riley should be alive. But she is not the only victim of our border crisis by far. Thousands of Americans have died as a result of it, whether due to fentanyl pouring over our southern border or due to senseless violent crimes like this one. And it may force you to beg the question, why doesn't anybody seem to care? It seems like it's really pretty black and white. Illegals are breaking into our country. Some of them are hurting, possibly even killing Americans. So why doesn't the administration care? Why doesn't Congress care? Well, they care. In fact, just recently, they started to care about mass migration an awful lot. It's just not the way you'd think. Tonight, I'm going to show you exactly how this deadly crisis is becoming even more deadly. Who's behind it? I'll show you what's changed so suddenly to make global migration more than relevant to our globalist overlords. America, hello. As I was going over the show today, I realized that this is the culmination of something that I realized probably in 2006, 7. We'd always tried to bring the rest of the world up to our living standard. That was the goal of democracy and freedom, of capitalism, that everyone could live the way we live, with the same standards. But after years and years and years of trying, it didn't work for a myriad of reasons. But I remember, I don't know if it was Putin or the UN or somebody, was talking about how we need to bring parity in the world. And if we have tried for 50, 60, 70 years to bring everybody up to our standard of living, and it fails in places like Africa and China and everywhere else, well then, if you want to bring parity, you should bring America down to match everyone else. And if they get a little ahead of us, well, maybe that's okay. But the overlords don't even want that. You'll notice they can't use nuclear energy. They can't use coal. They can't use the things that brought us wealth. So we're all down at the bottom. I'm going to show you how they're doing this, because America is missing the point, because we're arguing about Republicans and Democrats or Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whatever. It's a show. It's happening all over the world. And in every country, they're arguing just like we are. If you watched the State of the Union last week, you witnessed a textbook example of why the things that never intended to be anything more than a letter to Congress, the State of the Union, takes now over an hour, and it's become hyper-partisan thuggery. It was a campaign speech. I had never seen one like that before. The President of the United States led with the most politically divisive issues we now face and screamed and mocked his opponents in the process. I've never seen that. We're at war, he said, externally and internally. It's Joe Biden. He's going to screw some things up. We know that. After being forced into acknowledging the death of Lakin Riley and screwing her name up, he also committed the faux pas of all faux pas. He committed a microaggression. After screwing up Riley's name, he had the gall to call her killer and illegal. But don't worry. The heroes within the mainstream media caught it. And they were quick to confront Biden right after his speech to allow him to correct his microaggression.
But during your response to her heckling of you, you used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed Laken Riley.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented. And look, when I spoke about the difference between Trump and me, one of the things I talked about on the border was that his the way he talks about vermin, the way he talks about these people polluting the blood. I talked about what I'm not going to do, what I won't do. I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country. Mm-hmm.
This was a planned question. I could almost guarantee it. The White House wanted him, needed him to say that. But he, you know, like Joe, he just kept going. Laken Riley's killer built the country? People like that? I mean, I have to check my notes. You know, that backstory is not something usually we talk about. I mean, let's look at the backstory here. Here he is. He illegally entered the country from Venezuela in 2022. Still checking the notes here. The Border Patrol should have deported him. But instead, he was paroled into the United States. Okay. Well, then he should have been paroled again and deported because he was arrested in New York for acting in a manner to injure a child and a motor vehicle license violation. Just 1 month after that, he should have been deported again when he was caught shoplifting in Georgia. Boy, get the hammer and nails out because this guy's building America. And then he murdered a 22-year-old girl who just wanted to be a nurse since she was a little kid. I'm sorry, Joe, but where do we get to the part where he's building the country? You know who built the country? You're half right. Immigrants. Immigrants. Immigrants who gave everything they could to come here. Not to be Italian Americans, not to be Irish Americans or Chinese Americans, but to become an American. Because we were different at what time? At some point, we dropped all that. We said we're not different. We're exactly like Europe. In fact, we're probably worse than Europe now. Why is the left worried about microaggressions on this world-class turd, a career criminal, and a murderer? I don't think he wants to be American. He wants to do what he wants to do. The law meant nothing to him when he was paroled into the United States. He was illegal. He was here illegally. He was shown you don't have to worry about the law here because the law here means nothing anymore. The law meant nothing to him when he was allowed to stay after getting busted, not once, but twice. He was let go. The law meant nothing to him when he saw a girl he liked to murder. As he was bashing her skull in, do you think he was thinking, gosh, I really shouldn't do this because I might not make it to my American citizenship? Is a microaggression and rudeness too much for illegals who break our laws and murder our citizens? Should we care about the microaggression? Let's hear some of the rhetoric that is so rude and dangerous to them. Quote, well, the Border Patrol isn't doing a good job at keeping people from crossing illegally, so we're going to have to go out and do it ourselves. That's right. Probably going to get some of the dangerous Christian nationalists. There are even reports of some sort of a militia, 300 men strong, paroling the border. Reports have emerged of Mexican immigrants being, quote, threatened, beaten, and robbed as they try to cross over into the United States. You sure that's us? Or is that the drug cartel, which just opened fire on two cars full of migrants that had tried to Uber across the border, and you can't do that without the permission of the drug cartel, so they just filled the cars with holes. Dang. Microaggressions are getting bad here, right? Here's some more, quote, all of a sudden, yesterday morning, they brought in 220 wet packs. These are illegals from Mexico. Wow. Immigrants are being threatened, beaten, robbed as they try to cross over into the United States. And yesterday morning, 220 wetbacks. Wetbacks. Oh, my gosh. Who would possibly say something like that? Well, these are the words from everybody's favorite left-wing icon, Cesar Chavez. Now, have you heard any calls for him to be canceled? I mean, has a statue been taken down? Have they renamed the schools or taken down the street signs? No. In fact, as of this week, cities all across the United States are holding Cesar Chavez birthday celebrations. But. What about all this racist stuff? What about the continued use of microaggressions, the word illegal? What about his private little militia group where he assaulted people crossing the border, beat them up? No, that wasn't us. That was Cesar Chavez. Don't believe me? Google his name. Check out the two titles he's given. Civil rights activist and American labor leader. You see, Chavez was allowed and is still allowed his racism and his abuse, physical abuse, because he's useful to the left. He was building a new cartel. Oh, I'm sorry. They don't call them cartels. They call them, labor union. He was building a new labor union. He was so useful to the left at the time, they even invited him to speak at the Democratic National Convention in New York City in 1976. Why hasn't he been canceled? Wetbacks? Sure, he said racist things, but yeah, and he was assaulting people on the border. I know. And in the farm fields. I got it. But he was useful. And usefulness kind of purges all of the sins to the left, at least. How many people saw this? Did you see this? The gathering of the mainstream media? Well, that's not the mainstream media. Huh. They must have been covering something else. This is a vigil for Lake and Riley. 1,000 people attended. I never saw that, did you? Vigils continue for George Floyd 3 years later. The media rushes to show every last detail. This month, Joe Biden tweeted he was pushing Congress in the name of George Floyd. Lake and Riley, he couldn't even get the name right. Not a whisper from the Biden administration. Then he goes on and does a public apology for saying a microaggression. I'm so tired of all of this. For the media and the Democrats, the equation is just so simple. Usefulness is greater than the consequences. They can get away with anything because they're useful. Are there riots in the streets? Yes. Is it useful? If it is, well then, yeah, it's allowed. It's cool. Is it somebody who disagrees with us? No, absolutely not. Are they being peaceful? Yes, but they're not useful. So we got to throw them in jail. If it's violent, if it's ugly, if it's racist, but it's useful, it's celebrated and encouraged. Does it lead to a breakdown of law? Does it break down law and order? And do you feel more and more that you can't walk outside? Are people dying because of overdoses? Are companies pulling their businesses out of cities because they can't stop the criminals from coming in? Yeah, but is it useful? Oh, then it's okay. Why? If we're really trying to punish people for their sins, why is everybody still celebrating a racist thug like Cesar Chavez? Why are we still gathering to commemorate George Floyd? Why is the media so skittish on the topic of Lake and Riley? One is useful, the other's not. It's simple, and it's disgusting. But why did the left suddenly change on mass migration? I mean, for decades, they never gave a crap. For decades, everybody talked about illegals coming over the border, and it was bad. It was bad unions. Cesar Chavez was beating people, and he got away with it because the labor union said it will be bad for Americans who just want a job. Nobody's saying that anymore. You know, Joe Biden used to sound exactly like Donald Trump when it came to illegal immigration. Why do they now seem to all praise mass illegal migration as useful? Well, the answers lie within the bowels of global institutions and governance. Globalists are doing this. In fact, they're ordering it, and Joe Biden is just following orders. I'm going to show you who is pushing illegal mass migration, why they are doing it, and the moment Joe Biden showed the entire world that he was playing along. They don't care about the dangerous consequences. It's all useful to them. We begin in a minute. This is Bill Clinton in 1995. Watch.
We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
Thunderous applause. If Joe Biden would have said this exact same thing last week, would his side of the room cheered? No, they wouldn't. No, let's skip ahead to the next Democratic president after Clinton. Obama, 2009.
This is not going to be a free ride. It's not going to be some instant amnesty. What's going to happen is you are going to pay a significant fine. You are going to learn English. You are going to go to the back of the line so that you don't get ahead of somebody who was in Mexico City applying legally. But after you've done these things over a certain period of time, you can earn your citizenship. So that it's not something that is guaranteed or automatic. You've got to earn it. But over time, you give people an opportunity. Now,
gosh,
it only works, though, if you do all the pieces. I think the American people, they appreciate and believe in immigration. But they can't have a...
So it's not guaranteed. You got to earn it. They'll pay a fine. You have to learn English. Well, that's the one thing, our e pluribus unum, that's one of the things that we all agreed with, all of us. It's you have to earn things. All men are created equal and endowed with certain inalienable rights from their creator. We used to believe that, but the rest of it you had to earn. That's the content of the character stuff. The left believed this for decades. The right believed this for decades. People are saying these same words today. You're called a racist or a xenophobe. Why? What happened all of a sudden? Well, let's just say a higher authority where they believe their rights come from, their higher authority, handed out marching orders. The New World Order has spoken. We all know how globalists currently view mass migration. The most powerful people in the world meet every year at the World Economic Forum and the UN. They actually cosplay at the WEF as migrants. The Great Reset includes the shift of populations all over the world. It's a way to take down these empires, a way to take down the West. This wasn't always the case. This is a new idea. The original Great Reset, we've named it the Great Preset, it was first conceived in September 2000. Now, put yourself back in the mindset before 9/11 and the year 2000, okay? The UN Millennium Summit, September 2000, had Millennium Development Goals. End poverty and hunger. Yeah, like that's going to happen. Universal education, gender equality. Gender equality in 2000, you know what we thought that meant? That men and women are equal. Not that men and women are interchangeable. Oh my gosh. Child mortality, maternal health, combating disease. That takes on a whole new thing, doesn't it? Environmental sustainability and global partnerships. Okay, those were the goals in 2000. This was the summit after Obama was elected president. It was transitioned into a global plan, a global action plan, and they called it the Millennium Development Goals. They established these 8 MDGs, and it's pretty remarkable. I mean, it's just remarkable, but none of them has anything in any document about mass migration. I have the list of all 8 MDGs up at glennbeck.com right now. You can click through them. The word migration, not mentioned once. The Millennium Development Goals were due to sunset in 2015. Strangely enough, they failed to end poverty and hunger. Isn't that weird? So what did they do? Well, they called for a do-over because this wasn't working. No. Let's start again. Let's call them instead, because we know now that environmental stuff is important. Let's call them the Sustainable Development Goals. And they expanded from 8 society-changing goals to 17. I'm going to do a show here on why this number 17 is so important to them. 17. The word sustainable was all over the place, because attaching climate change to the complete redesign of a society gave it a little more weight. That's what's so great about climate crusades. You can use it for literally anything you want. Now, out of 17 SDGs, guess how many times migration is mentioned? Two times. And both times it's mentioned, it's talked about as a problem, as in, you got to stop global warming or we're going to have to deal with mass migration. And that seemed odd. The year 2015. We've heard that for a long time. Mass migration. Has the temperature risen so far that people can no longer grow food and so they have to come here? Is that true? Show that to me. Is it really true that the Christians were slaughtered by the Muslims in Africa because the temperature was too hot? That's what they're selling you. Europe is in the middle of their worst migrant crisis since World War II. Let me ask you, what had a bigger impact? Global warming or the Arab Spring? At 1.3 million people were flooding into Europe from the Middle East and North Africa, and barely a whisper on migration. Maybe it's because they hadn't figured out how mass migration was useful. All of that apparently changed just a few months ago. The UN now has announced their society-changing Agenda 2030 plan, and it recognizes for the very first time that mass migration is relevant to all sustainable development goals. All 17. All of them. If we don't do all of them, we're just going to have mass migration. So let's spin the wheel on their webpage to hear their justification on why mass migration is now somehow sustainable and part of the overall encompassing climate crusade. Migration is suddenly useful. I want you, if you're not ready, to keep a close eye on the big global institutions and what they really mean when they say these things. For example, let's take the G20 now amending the word globalization. We all know that means, right? Mm-hmm. It's now been relabeled. It's new globalization. Not exactly as catchy as the original, but a change in terminology brings change in policy. New globalization, as per the G20, refers to ending poverty and combating climate change. But what do they actually mean by ending poverty? How do you do that? Well, for the first time, they're not hiding it anymore. For them, in their own words, ending poverty means, and I quote, increasing taxes on corporations and the super rich. But who's making this policy? Well, if you know anything at all about the WEF, it's the global corporations and the super rich. Why would they want that? Why do we get the feeling that higher taxes just won't be paid by the big corporations and the super rich? Don't worry. Sure, our standard of living will get lower and lower, but we'll be ending poverty. Well, it's more like we're all impoverished, except the super rich and the corporations and the government. Also, I found it amusing that G7 within the G20 made it really pretty clear that we need to continue to seize money from Russia to the tune of nearly $500 billion. Not to punish Russia or because they, you know, think goulash is nasty or the Russian stacking dolls really the time has passed. No, no, no. Janet Yellen had to clarify this. She said that it was, quote, necessary and urgent to illegally seize Russian assets to fund the war in Ukraine. Wow. Okay. All right. Let me just question a bit. Question everything, right? Take a look at the 8 original millennial development goals. Eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. How do they do that? Well, in their own words, they raise taxes. Put another way, they sanction people like you, American citizens, and their companies. Hunger? Well, how do you do this? Well, you've seen the current war on farmers and ranchers. The government wants to be the ultimate authority on what we eat, how we produce our food, and who gets what. And that never, never throughout all of history has ever ended well. Achieve universal primary education. Well, you've seen the left's radical agenda. It's now creeped into our schools. It's indoctrination, plain and simple. I could go through every single one of these, but it's the same time after time after time, always the same. There's always something else but beyond what they say they want. It's not what they want. It's what they want to convince you they're doing. It brings us back to migration. Why focus now so heavily on migration when you hardly gave a crap in the past and you knew it was wrong and culture killing? Now, surely not because migration is a multi-billion dollar operation that benefits the global and regional governments, right? Surely because it doesn't fund like-minded civil society organizations like left-wing NGOs, right? Surely because it's not a valuable political tool to push their different agendas. Surely not to give the right voting blocks in crucial areas. Surely it's not because it brings wealthy nations into parity with others, right? It's none of those things. This is compassion. We don't want to call them illegal. No person can be illegal. Wow, if you're a conservative, I don't know, I've been feeling pretty illegal lately. At least that's the way they make me feel. See, mass migration, they say it's a bad thing, but they're causing it. They're pushing it. And they're pushing it because it's part of the global ecological agenda. You see, it's getting so bad, people are migrating. They've got to move to other countries. And those countries, which happen to be the entire West, collapses. By the way, did you read the news today? I guess we have the measles all of a sudden breaking out all over the country. Yeah. Yeah, they're breaking out at the immigration centers all across the country. Why? Because they didn't get the MMR when they were kids. Who's paying for that? Who's paying for the hospital bills? Who's paying the doctor bills? You are. Just an unintended consequence that nobody really thought through. But for decades, we knew all these things, but now they're useful. Do they actually care about migrants? No. They don't care. You never hear them ever, ever talk about the rape of women and children. You never hear about the sex slaves that are now part. You never hear about the drug cartels. These are the consequences, and they're devastating, but they're useful. Back in a minute. you know, I walked on the studio floor today, and the first thing I thought of was, nowhere in the script do I say, please, I beg of you, get on your knees and pray. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for protection. Pray for that straight and narrow way, because that's the only thing that's going to get us out of this. George Washington believed in the badge of merit. He believed that the only way we could ever be free and beat the strongest army and navy in the world, the English, would be if we were seen by God doing things that were pleasing to him. Who is even suggesting that today? Is it even being said from your pulpit? We have got to be people of merit, and this is why I work with preborn. They are introducing moms to their unborn child through a free ultrasound that we provide, you provide, $28. Preborn doubles the chances that she's going to choose life. And speaking of double, you're not only rescuing 280,000 babies so far with compassion and love and free ultrasounds, but you save 280,000 moms from regretting something the rest of their life just because they felt there was they were alone, they bought into the lie, or they didn't think anybody cared. Please, please find favor in the eyes of God. We need to be on his side. An ultrasound is $28. Donate securely, dial #250. Say the keyword baby, #250. Keyword baby, or go to preborn.com/Glenn. Radical globalist policies have consequences. Mass migration is in the middle of breaking America. I want to show you the numbers. This is where we are as of January. Since Biden took office, there have been 8.7 million people encountered at our borders. Encounters. 7.2 million just at our southern border alone. Let me put that into context for you. During the entire Trump presidency, there were 2.4 million encounters at the southern border. But I'm saying encounters for a reason, because those are the ones we know about. What about the others? Well, when his term was in office, there were about 521,000 gotaways, is what they call them. Under Biden, still a few months left yet, but there were 1.8 million gotaways. And the former Border Patrol chief testified last year that this number probably like 20% higher. In other words, we don't have a clue. There are probably over 2 million people potentially dangerous that shouldn't be here but are. Remember the guy who killed Lakin? They caught him. He wasn't a gotaway. Speaking of dangerous, since 2021, 340 people on the terrorist watch list attempted to cross our southern border. But how many made it through? The answer? I don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. We do know about this man. He's an Iranian intelligence operative that is currently recruiting people within our country, hitmen, to assassinate former Trump officials. We know that he moves between Iran and Venezuela. By the way, did you know that Joe Biden just gave another, I don't know how many billions to Iran yesterday? Just did it again. We also know that Iran has used Mexican drug cartels for assassinations inside the United States. This is serious. Biden's compliance with open border mass migration can be traced to a single day. It was February 2nd, just over a week after he was inaugurated. Joe Biden issued this executive order. I'm not going to even read. We post this for you, but it's ridiculously long. At least the title is. I couldn't get past the title. What they say is never what they mean. So what does this actually do? Well, Biden has stated repeatedly that his hands are tied when it comes to the border, right? Per an excellent breakdown of this from National Review, Biden's executive order completely dismantled all of the games in this, the gains and the safety mechanisms put in place by the Trump administration. The order incentivized migrants to make the journey north, in large part by using parole for people claiming asylum at the border. Did we need a study for this? This is exactly how Laken Riley's killer got into the country. He was paroled. Since taking office, Mayorkas has directed the patrol of 1.7 million inadmissible aliens. These are, again, the ones we know about. 1.7 million inadmissible. The order also chopped Trump's expansion of expedited removal and his scale back of catch and release. It also began the termination of Trump's Remain in Mexico program. All of these orders went into effect within days. The border didn't collapse at some random point under Joe Biden. Joe Biden intentionally collapsed our border. Why? There are currently more than 8 million asylum seekers sitting in legal limbo. That's a 167% increase in 5 years. Who are actually some of these people that have already gotten in, snuck in, paroled? We don't know who they actually are. We know that Laken Riley's murderer was paroled. But how many more are like him? How many? Well, let me show you the annual report from ICE 2023. As of fiscal year, last year, there were over 6 million non-detained non-citizens in the United States. These are the people whom ICE thinks needs to be arrested, meaning people that probably have a criminal record. They're roaming free. 6.1. Now, the mainstream media thinks illegal immigration is really no big deal. The crime? No, that's no big deal. The Washington Post says that crime is declining. And that any mention of illegal immigration crime is really just anecdotal. Really, that's it. NBC recently parroted the same argument. Even think tanks like Cato, who I'm usually agree with, are saying the same thing. They say, you know, the record's straight on illegal immigrant crime. Even John Stewart entered the debate. Watch.
There are some undocumented migrants who are committing crimes, some of them horrific. But isn't that true for every demographic, including natives? I feel pretty confident there's still a lot of opportunity out there for our American homegrown criminals.
This is the most bizarre defense of illegal immigrants committing crime I've ever heard. We're comparing to the amount of crimes committed by, as John Stewart says, homegrown criminals? Does that even matter? I mean, crime is out of control as it is. Is all of it being committed by illegals? Of course not. It doesn't matter, however, in the slightest. Do the parents of Laken Riley consider this an anecdotal debate? Well, you know, she would have probably been, you know, raped and killed by, a homegrown killer. What? What about the family of the 14-year-old girl that was raped recently by an illegal immigrant from Honduras? Anecdotal to them, is it? How about the family of the 2-year-old who was murdered in Maryland by an illegal immigrant from El Salvador? He was able to commit this murder thanks to sanctuary city laws. Or is that just anecdotal? 11-year-old Maria Gonzalez was found raped and murdered under her bed last August by an illegal from Guatemala. He had crossed the border and then set free by Border Patrol. But that's just anecdotal. Last year, a 16-year-old girl murdered by an illegal immigrant in Texas. She didn't show up for her cheer practice. Mom got worried. She came home to find her daughter's body in a bathtub. I want John Stewart and anyone else to ask these families. It was just anecdotal, right? I mean, they could have been killed, but they weren't killed by an American. If they were, then it would be just as bad. The point is, if none of these people were here, maybe those people would still be alive. What is wrong with people? What I don't. I'm having a very bad day. I'm having a very bad day because because the only answer I have with you is pray. That there's nothing else we can do but be good people. That's it. Because there are not a lot of good people around, it seems. I do agree with John Stewart on homegrown crime. When you fail to enforce the law in just one area, it's not surprising when crime runs rampant everywhere. Shoplifting, retail theft out of control. I could show you the pictures of, you know, black kids. It's crime from the blacks, you know, they're going into neighborhoods. But if I'm fair, I also show you the woman who's living in a $2.5 million house in San Diego that was the crime lord of all of the people breaking in, stealing. She was selling it on Amazon. Everybody seems to be doing it now. Why? Decriminalization. These progressive hellholes that refuse to enforce the law. What do you think they're going to do? Well, I was going to steal that car, but if I do, I know I'm not going to get punished for it. What? Of course you're going to steal the car. Drug overdoses? This is insane. Crime has gotten so bad in places like New York City, which not too long ago bragged as the safest city in the country. And it was. Now you have the military patrolling the subways. And I don't think it's just for crime. I think we're headed towards a massive terrorist attack. What was it, Chicago today that also said they needed the National Guard out? Try to make an argument that illegal immigrant crime somehow doesn't matter because the numbers are less than American citizens is absurd. None of that has to happen. If they're not here,
well, God, you know, he decides when people live or die. Their time was up.
You're going to come to me with God on that one? Because that's the only argument I could possibly hear that you go like, well, I don't know. No! No! Crime from illegal immigrants is preventable, but not while open borders and mass migration is being pushed by everyone from the UN to the President of the United States. These are deadly consequences that they just won't talk about. God help us all. God help us all if we can't throw these bums out in the next election. Back in a minute. I don't know what to say to you on this commercial other than, hey, if things look good to you, keep spending that cash. Keep getting everything in cash. Or if you realize that this cannot continue, I mean, if you heard my show today, I talked to Carol Roth. You know, we're going to be looking at a debt in, by 2030, I think, of $56 trillion. That's interesting. We're already, when we were at $20 trillion debt, we already amassed more debt than anyone in the history of the world. But we can more than double it here in the next few years. If you think that's fine and going to end well, then that's great. If not, may I suggest you call Lear Capital. Please, please, just get their free advice. They've got a booklet out that will show you exactly how you can protect your money. Please call them right now. They'll even give you $250 into your account just because you watch me or listen to me. Call them. 800-957-GOLD. Please protect yourself and your family. 800-957-GOLD. Recently, I sent my chief researcher, head writer of the TV program, Jason Buttrell, down to the border. And it was for a completely different story, but what you came back with was totally different, and it changed you.
Absolutely crazy. I mean, that time was a watershed moment. Multiple parallel stories going on. A trucker convoy going to the border, take our border back convoy. Everything going on with the seizure of Shelby Park and Eagle Pass. All these different stories, all being used what seemed like in their, for their own purposes and their own agendas. One of the biggest kind of black pill moments of my life happened down there. Nothing was as it seemed at all.
And he came back, and I don't even know what it is yet. He was changed, and he said, Glenn, it's totally different. You'll find out what he found tomorrow. I want to give you a little clip of the latest Blaze documentary that is out tomorrow only on Blaze TV. Watch.
Fiscal year 2023, they're saying that the encounters that year were around 3.2 million. What do you think, in your opinion, is the actual number?
It's very difficult. They make it difficult. They want it to be difficult. Those are just the apprehensions between ports, through the brush, in the bush. I would say that there are 100,000 a month more that need to be counted. We think about 5.5 million people have been allowed in to the nation in 36 months.
Has that ever happened before? Is that an all-time?
Nothing like that.
That's an all-time record.
Not even close. We think that we're about 85% of everybody reaching the border is coming in. That percentage is just irresistible incentive for whole villages in foreign countries to empty out. No country in the entire world does this.